All right, we're taking up a different question today. A question has been raised with regard to the parasha of Parah Aduma. So it says, in the introduction to the Parah Aduma, that's in Bamidbar, Perek Yates, Zos Chukas HaTorah. This is a chok, which connotes something which is absolute, a statute, something which really can't be questioned. Ashet Tzivah Roshem Lemor, that God commanded, saying... Now Rashi says, Zos Chukas HaTorah, Lefisha Satan V'Umos HaOlam, because Satan and the nations of the world, Monin Es Yisrael, taunt the Jews, saying, Moha Mitzvah Zos, what is this commandment? What's the point of it? U'matam Yesh Ba, what's the reason? Leficha Kasav Ba Chuka, that's why the term chukah is used regarding it. Gzeirah Fanai. It's a decree from before me. Ein lecha reshus laharer acharea. You don't have any permission to wonder about it, to wonder in a critical kind of a way, like maybe there's something wrong with this. What's the point of this? So the question was being raised. A number of questions is that how what kind of an answer is this? If that indeed is the point, well, first of all, we have to analyze what does it mean to the Satan? It says the Satan and the nations of the world taunt the Jews. If that's the case, either we take it seriously or we don't take it seriously. If we don't take it seriously, so what's the problem? If we do take it seriously, what's the answer? So what kind of an answer is this? How does this stop the taunting? Also, in conjunction with this, would it not be a problem because the Torah says in Devarim that we should guard and keep the commandments because this is chachmaschem uvinaschem le'en ha'amim. This is our wisdom and discernment in the eyes of the nations. That is that they will observe, they will see these commandments. It mentions chukim over there too. They will see them and they'll say, rakam chacham v'navon ha'gaya gadol hazeh, that this is a very wise and discerning people. So, you could put it in a different way. If that's the case, how can you have a phenomenon such as this, where you have a statute? Now, all the commentators maintain that it has a reason, that every law of the Torah is rational, so to speak. It has a reason, a useful reason, beneficial reason, and everyone is based upon tremendous wisdom. There's no such thing as an arbitrary law. The Rambam talks about that in the Mor Nevuchim, in the Torah. If a person maintains that, it's a seriously problematic view. In a sense, you're kind of negating the divine nature of Torah, if you say that. So therefore, everything is the deepest wisdom. So what is the idea of a chok? So a chok also makes sense. A chok is also a rational phenomenon. The only thing is that the difference between a chok, a statute, so to speak, and the other types, other categories of laws, is that it's hidden. The wisdom over here, the purpose, the wisdom, the rationality is something which is hidden. It's not apparent on the surface. So that the other laws of the Torah, by and large, the necessity, the significance, is apparent on the surface, or with a certain amount of probing, you have access to it. This is something which you really don't have access to unless you're on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, pretty much. So the wisdom is there. Yeah, Shlomo HaMelech said that he had discovered the reason for every mitzvah, except for Parah Aduma. But Moshe Rabbeinu understood the Parah Aduma. Anyways, would that not be a problem? In that if the nature of the Torah is such that it's supposed to attract people to its great wisdom, people are supposed to have an admiration, so then wouldn't that contradict the idea of having mitzvos where there's no apparent justification on the surface, which could create the opposite impression? It's okay to say that you have a system of philosophy which is not apparent superficially. What the reason is profound wisdom, but everything is written allegorically, and the average person does not have access to it. You can have such a phenomenon, and you can say this is for people that want to take the time to study for many years and reach the level where they can partake of this wisdom. But you can't make a claim at the same time, would seem, you can't make a claim that this is a system which the average individual or the nations are going to come and recognize the wisdom. That would be hard because it's only the few. So you can say, I don't care about the nations or the masses, I just have a system, a profound system which explains the mysteries or the secrets of life that everybody wants to know about. And here's the book, but you're not going to be able to figure out the book unless you come and study with me. Now, would that be compatible or incompatible with the idea that the nations, that this is your wisdom and discernment in the eyes of the nations? That's the question. Question is being raised, but on the other hand, how could a system be profound wisdom and accessible to everybody? And so be something which everybody would acknowledge, because the masses of people do not recognize true wisdom. Well, anyways, as far as that's concerned, it seems to me what the Rambam means that the nations will recognize, and they'll say what a great, what a wise and discerning nation. I think he's referring to the Chachme, to the thinkers, to the philosophers of the nations. I don't think he means every person on the street. That's a good point. The average person on the street can't recognize Chachma, can't appreciate it, has no use for it. But the nations do have wise men. They do have thinkers, scholars, whatever the case is. So that's what he's referring to, that those people, when they pay attention to what the Jews are doing, they will obtain this kind of an appreciation. As far as the question about the nations is concerned, I don't think that's a problem. It doesn't mean that every particular mitzvah of the Torah has to be the showcase, so to speak, has to be the one that evinces the wisdom. That's an overall impression, that people, when they take note of the Jews, ideally, obviously, I don't know how much that's manifest today, that's a problem, but people should differentiate those people, the Jews who live according to the Torah, who live according to the Torah properly, according to the written law, according to the oral law, and they have a deep understanding, not just of the halacha. In terms of the effect on the nations, it seems to me, it's more important with regard to the philosophy or the hashkafa of Torah. Because people that merely have expertise in the halachic, this is not the ultimate perfection. Obviously, that's a level of perfection, but it's a means to an end. The halachic is to enable you to perform the mitzvahs properly, and the mitzvahs have reasons that you should internalize and live by. They are the expressions of the correct derech ha-chaim, the correct way of life. But certainly, an outsider over here doesn't just mean a Gentile. Today, it's the same idea with regard to most of the Jews, unaffiliated Jews, so to speak, non-observant Jews. They are not impressed at an individual who's learned in the law, per se. And why should they? I know within the, so to speak, firm circle, everybody raves about someone who knows the Gemara, he knows the Halacha. But in and of itself, that's not something which is necessarily going to impress people. So the person isn't highly intelligent, studious, or ingenious, whatever it is, and he knows the rules. You'll find that in all areas. In any area of study, you'll find people that are able to master complex bodies of information or knowledge. Whether you want to say this is more complicated or whatever, so what? I don't think that's what the pasuk is talking about. It's talking about a different type of a chachma. That is a chachma in the realm of living. That the way the person lives his life in every area, in accordance with the ideals of Torah, with the knowledge, with the discipline, and the way he behaves. The behavior, the moral behavior, the ethical behavior. But above and beyond that, it's not just that, because you have moral and ethical people in other areas. Apparently, it's with an infusion of the Chachmas HaTorah, the special wisdom of the Torah that's applied to all areas. I think that's what the Pasuk is talking about. Because if they see a Jew performing a mitzvah properly, so what? It's not going to impress them. He's a religious person. Every religion has its rituals, and they don't even know whether he performed it properly or not, because they don't know anything about the mitzvah. They see a person wearing a tefillin or something like that, so why is that going to make an impression upon a person? Unless they ask you about it. They ask you about it, and you start to explain the ideas behind it, and they're really impressed that this makes sense. That's the Kiddush Hashem that the Rambam, the Torah is talking about, and the Rambam explains. Now, as far as that's concerned, it's not necessary that every specific mitzvah be the one that serves as the illustration. Because they'll see that this is a system. That the Jews live according to a certain system, and this produces certain results which are very, very beneficial to mankind. It would be a wonderful thing if all people lived this way. That's the idea. So if that's the case, what about that particular mitzvah that we can't discover the rationale? So what's our own reaction to that? How are we supposed to deal with it? When we're maintaining that every mitzvah has wisdom and a rationale, and yet here's mitzvos that we don't know what the reason is. What should our own attitude be? Does it pose a problem for us? Well, the answer is no. Because the idea that is that the Torah has to make sense. There has to be wisdom in the Torah because it comes from God. So if we had a system and it was haphazard, it was random, it didn't make sense, it was contradictory to reason, so that, and somebody claimed this comes from God, we would doubt his claim. So it doesn't make sense. A person wouldn't put something like this together. How can you attribute something like this to the Creator? However, you see the same phenomenon in the natural order. Scientists, every area you study, you see is filled with tremendous wisdom. Now, what does a scientist do when he comes across certain phenomena which he can't explain, which apparently don't make any sense? Can't understand it. Does this cause him to lose faith in the whole system? No. Because he's seen enough to be convinced that this is something which is, whose source must be a being of infinite wisdom. So therefore, when he comes upon something that doesn't make sense, he realizes that the defect is within him. That there's a certain degree of wisdom he's capable of perceiving. And beyond that, he's not. He doesn't put the blame on science. He doesn't put the blame on the Creator. He puts the blame on himself. He realizes. And he keeps studying. He'll keep searching. Maybe he'll find a teacher who has a greater degree of understanding. The same is true with regard to Torah. That we see enough of the wisdom of Torah, the rationality of Torah, the depth, to be convinced that this is from a higher source, a supernatural source, that this is from God. Therefore, when you come across a particular mitzvah that you can't figure out, so you don't negate the entire system. You merely say that there are areas in the Torah which were designed for very special people on a higher level who have profound wisdom. Because since it comes from God, it contains wisdom on many, many levels. For the average person, for the advanced person, and then for the brilliant genius. And it's possible that there are secrets in the Torah that maybe it's only for one person in 1,000 years. Therefore, it does not pose a problem for me that I will have to do certain mitzvos whose reasons I may not know. Because I know that it makes sense. I know that it comes from God. But the overall picture of Torah that you get from studying Torah is that it's a system of tremendous wisdom and rationality. And getting back to the Rashi, he says that Satan, the Satan, and the nations of the world taunt the Jews. So of course the question is, what is Satan? The Rambam explains that Satan is a metaphor for one's evil inclination. That is, for a person's instincts. So it's interesting that each Jew has within him a certain rebelliousness against Torah, a certain resistance. And of course, the nations of the world partake of that to a greater extent. So that's what it's saying over here, that in general you have a certain resistance, a certain rebelliousness, but it needs to find an outlet. If you're a reasonable person, you recognize that you can't go up against Torah. The Torah is a body of profound wisdom. So it doesn't mean that all this resistance just disappears. It's something you have to fight against from time to time. And it manifests itself in an area which could be described as an area of vulnerability, where there's a mitzvah that to all intents and purposes doesn't seem to make any sense. You can't figure out the rationale. So when you encounter that, then your own resistance, your own aggression towards Torah, your own desire to debunk the Torah and to negate the Torah, because on a certain level people wanted to remove the Torah. They want to be free, instinctually free. They don't want to be bound by the Torah. So you have a conflict. Certain areas, it's hard for you to express that because the Torah obviously is the truth. But when you encounter a mitzvah like Parah Aduma, which you can't assign any rationality to, so then the emotion comes out. And it's reinforced by the external. Because that's a big influence in terms of the Jews, the Umos HaOlam, the nations. Nations of the world. That doesn't necessarily even have to be only Gentiles. It could be Jews too. Jews that deny. Then you're in a bind because of that sense of denial. You're influenced by other people. As we've been learning, you're influenced. And the whole world negates this and says that it doesn't make sense, you shouldn't keep it, and you have to battle against that. So those are the two. But the only reason why that's a problem, the Umos HaOlam, is because of the Satan. Because if you didn't have that emotion within you, then there'd be no problem. You wouldn't care. You only care what others think because you're lacking security yourself. You're lacking conviction. This emotional need for conformity, to be like others, to be accepted by others, it's a weakness because to the extent that you need that approval, it indicates that you are lacking in a certain confidence about yourself, about what you're doing. If a person is an expert in an area and he's found a brilliant way of investing or making money, and it works, and everybody else thinks he's crazy, that's not going to deter him for 1 minute. Because he thinks they're crazy, and he knows they're crazy. He doesn't just think it, he knows it because he sees the results. So he's quite happy, because he's making money. The only time a person is affected by what others are doing is because he himself doesn't have that sense of security. He doesn't feel that sure about himself. So therefore, if everybody's doing it, it bothers him. They must know something. That emotion kicks in. They must know something. So that's why Rashi describes the situation perfectly. It's the Satan. Satan means your own inclination. If you didn't have that problem with your own emotions, then the nations of the world would not be a problem for you. In those areas where you're convinced that the Torah is true, you don't care what the rest of the world thinks. To the contrary. The fact that something is exceedingly popular and everybody latches onto it is only an indication that it's very superficial and doesn't contain any profound wisdom. So Rashi is explaining that the way you have to strengthen yourself with regard to these mitzvos, and that's why the Torah uses the term chukah, that you have to reinforce yourself, that this is a different category of Torah. It's a gzerah, it's a decree, it's God's will that there should be certain things in Torah that are not there for every person. You don't have this emotion of Democrat, it should be democratic, egalitarian, and everything. Why should it be that? That's another thing that troubles people. Why only this profound chacham? It's not fair that he should have insight into this and not me. That's gzerah himelfanai. That's the divine will, that God set up the world in a certain way. And he chose to reveal certain ideas. And he made man in a way that some people attain a lower level of wisdom, some people a higher level, and some people tremendously. You don't have this idea of equality. And by and large, most people fall into a certain range, but you do have extremes. There are extremes geniuses. People on a level of prophecy that can hardly be said to be in the same species with ordinary people. So this also is irksome, because that goes against the emotion today of everybody, equality, absolute equality. Can't be that one person has something that the other person doesn't have. But that's not reality. So gzeri himofanai. A person has to recognize that this is a different phenomenon. It's the phenomenon of gzeira, and you can't put it to the test of your logic and your ability to figure things out. And asur ein l'chav reshus l'harachara. You have to maintain tremendous discipline, and that you can't be allow yourself to be affected by these emotions of the satan and the nations of the world. You can't start to wonder, to allow yourself to get into that mode where you're starting to question. That is a serious danger. That's the idea over here. But as far as it's not intended as an answer to the nations. If the nations ask the question, that's the answer you give them. That the Torah is, by and large, a system of tremendous wisdom. This is but it also contains the phenomenon of a decree, which is also with such profound wisdom that the average person can't understand it. Now, you see, you can't use that as the standard answer. If they're going to ask you questions about many, many laws of the Torah, why do you eat certain foods, and why do you avoid this, and why all these laws pertaining to the sexual? If everything that they ask, you say, well, that's the decree of God, which unfortunately many people take that approach, that everything is a divine decree, and we just follow the God as though it's all arbitrary, and our greatness is that we just submit to God. Then you got a huge problem. Then you're going to defeat the entire purpose of Torah, which is to be a Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of God. Because we are supposed to observe the Torah in a manner which leads people to God, that this comes from God. So a person goes around saying, hey, there's no reason for this, there's no reason for that, it's just a good divine, everything is divine decree. That's an absurdity. That's a false approach. But it does teach us that there are certain aspects of Torah which can only be understood from the vantage point of Gzeri Himofanai, it's a divine decree.